Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. We are millions of times grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this month of Ramadan and such a glorious and great evening in the house of Allah, He has allowed us to come to His home. And Allah's blessings, this was Allah's grace that He allowed us to come into His home, into His masjid. And on top of that additional Allah Ta'ala has given to us is that to us He has given us the opportunity in a gathering to sit down. In a gathering. An assembly, and I think the objective, the intention of this assembly, this gathering, is only and only for preparing for the akhirah, for the hereafter. That's why we are sat here. Because the hereafter is such a thing, the akhirah, that the beginning of it will start at the time when a person dies, maut. You just heard an announcement recently, just now, that person would have come to this masjid, he would have sat in the masjid, he would have prayed salah in the masjid jamaat. If you go before that in his life, he had his daily life, his tasks, he would have had his business, everything he did in his life. And before that, go early, he would have been a young man, jawani, and go before that, he would have been a child, a kid. So a person goes through all these phases of life, and it's a big warning for us that to pass the time in a good way and to pass away in a good way, because those who are not here with us today, who were here yesterday, and the days that have gone before us, today is different, and the day that will come tomorrow will be different to today. So these are all signs for us from Allah. Allah has given us signs that you are on a journey. We are on a journey, and this is the journey to the akhirah, to the hereafter. So there's nothing to be surprised about when a person passes away, when we hear the news that somebody's passed away. Of course we feel sad. Of course when we know someone, they've died, but we shouldn't be shocked. You'll be shocked on that thing which is something new or something that's impossible. That's when you are shocked or dismayed. But this is going to happen, death. We are going to die, pass away, all of us. And that this is a warning for us that someone's dying before us. So for us it's a lesson, it's a sabak, it's a reminder. Allahu Akbar, that tomorrow that time will also come to us and we will also be leaving here. So for this reason, I'm requesting that this gathering we have, we are sat here, it is only for the preparation for the akhirah. For thereafter, you haven't sat here to listen to a speech. You aren't listening to my lecture. You're not listening to tafsir in detail. Just some discussion that we will practice for the hereafter. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ stated with regards to preparing for the hereafter that the first destination for a person after death, which we call the barzakh, in other words, the grave. The grave. That's the first step after death. And that is the most severe phase, and it starts with the severe phase. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu, he was a companion. When he used to sat near the grave, he would cry till a long time. His blessed beard would be wet with his tears. Somebody asked him, O Amirul Mu'mineen, why do you cry like this when you are near the grave? And he said, I heard from my master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the biggest test and challenge, the place for the biggest test and challenge is the grave of the person. If he passes the test in the grave, then the rest of the journey will be easy. So for that practice, we are sat here today. I am present here. You are here. Allah has put some words into my heart. And Allah has also given you the tawfiq. And wherever today, now, sisters, brothers are gathered in this gathering and listening, alhamdulillah, just for this one action, that our Lord, Allah, when we die, we don't know what state we'll be in. But at that time, when our friends, our relatives, those people we know, our son, our children, when they throw us in the grave, and when they put the soil with their hands onto my face, and then when I'm buried beneath the soil, then they'll do dua for me. Oh, my Mawla, at that time, who will be there in that dark night? Who will be there to save us in the grave? So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam calls out that, I'll tell you one action, that if you have wisdom and understanding, and somebody tells you, and your heart feels that, and believes in that, and agrees with that, and it's such an amal, that when you are thrown into the grave, in that place in your grave, there's no greater action than this that can save you from the adab, the punishment of the grave. Subhanallah. And what is the amal? That's why we are sat here, to do that amal, that practice. Just to be saved from the severity of death, to be saved from the punishment of death, to be saved from the severity and hardship of death. Because the azab, the punishments of the grave, with regards to this, there's a chapter, big chapter, about the azab of the grave. I just want to summarize you. I don't want to make you scared. Just to create awareness so we understand. That why don't we bring this amal into our life, not for today, but permanently, daily, accept this amal and bring it into our life. And let's tie a knot on it, strengthen it, that we won't leave this practice, this amal. There's no loss with this amal. The Holy Prophet ﷺ guarantees that if we do this amal, that in such a place, the grave where no one can help you, that it will be the first night of your death, the angels will come to question you, azab will be waiting for you, you will be full of the sins. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, I guarantee you, if you did this action in your life before death, then this action that you did will be so great that it will be the most powerful amal that will save you from azab in the grave, punishment in the grave. So this is the amal, the practice, the punishments of the grave. Allah won't give azab to that person who does this amal. We ourselves will take the azab from this world into our grave. Yes, it will be wrapped around our body. It's in our control. It's our choice. If our lifestyle are good deeds, good actions, good amal, wrong ones, then they will become azab. Where else will azab come from? Yes, we are earning the azab ourselves if we reject salah, don't pray salah, if we leave the fasting, if we don't pay the zakat, if we have the ability to do hajj and we don't go to hajj, we keep delaying and rejecting the hajj. These are big faraid, compulsory. So the start will be from here, the question, why did you leave the prayer, will be asked. That these sins will be stuck to us, because azab is not in the grave in advance. There aren't snakes and scorpions in the grave in advance. We actually taken them with us. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. We're not importing the azab. Allah says that you brought the azab with you, the punishment, that they were stuck with you before you passed away. And you are bringing this snake with you into the grave. Allah says, when you weren't careful, when you urinated in the toilet, then the spiders would stick to you, the scorpions were stuck to your body because you weren't careful with the urine when you went to the toilet. When you did not come to the salah and left congregation and you were occupied in the dunya, then the dunya has left you, but count the pound notes now for which you left the salah in jama'ah in the masjid. The reason that you left the masjid for, Allah says, in the grave now, count your pound notes now if they've come with you. How much maal is with you now in the grave? How much money is with you now in the grave? How much earnings is? The things that stopped you from doing the good, have they come with you in the grave today? Allah will ask, can you see those things? You won't be able to see nothing. I'll say, fine. So that had became your azab in the dunya, whilst these figures you were saving up and you were hiding the money in your under the cushions, etc. Now you've come. Allah says that you've come to the next world now. Before you were in the earth, in the world, you used to do dirty actions, so you couldn't see. But Allah said, you, to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith, his, and the kalam of the Quran was present, that after life in the world, it becomes azab. When you sin, it will become this punishment. When you commit this sin, it will become this punishment. When you do this wrong action, it will become this punishment. But you didn't believe Allah says, and you kept on shaving your beard. You kept on trimming your beard. You kept on leaving salah. You kept on denying the sunnah. It's up to you, Allah says, in the world. It's up to you. Allah says, I'm not saying nothing to you. I gave you a chance. Open playing field. Do you understand what I'm saying, my brothers? You understand what I'm saying? So it's in your control, in your hands. Allah said, did I not give you a chance? I sent you a majlis, a good gathering, or you sat in center of a molana or a speech and you sat down who explained to you and you were listening at the same time. But why didn't you listen to what he said at that time, Allah says? What was the problem? Did you not know that the Quran is the truth? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's hadith are the truth? So why didn't you understand that this action that I'm doing now, this sin, it'll become a punishment. It'll become such a scorpion, a snake, that there's no power of the world that will take it from your body in the grave. It's invisible. Because you lived in the world, you can see nothing. Even the jinn can't, you can't see the jinn. But the jinns are here in the world. You can't see angels. But the angels are there around you. You can't see them. So you are in the world now where Allah says that I've given you the sight which is restricted. You can't see the hereafter, but those things are present. But when you leave this world, Allah says, when I pick you up from the earth, and you come to the next world where you will see the hereafter, and your glasses will change, and this world, planet earth, will disappear. You will see those things in the grave and further that you could not see when you were alive. But it says, I did not hide them from you. I told you the knowledge that this sin, if you commit this sin, then you'll get this punishment. If you do this sin, you'll get this punishment. If you do this sin, you get this punishment. So all the sins that a human being implements, they don't leave your body. No. We might forget the sins, but Allah said that there's a system in the kitab of Allah, the record books, and even the smallest sin will not be forgotten. It will be stuck to you, to your body. This is Allah's glory. This is Allah's power. Allah's made the cure though. He's given us the cure. Allah says that your sins will be super glued, stuck to your whole body. Your sins are stuck to you. You don't know the one action you did during your life. Every day you do that. You cut your beard. You listen to music. You do immodest actions. You lie. And you'll imitate people who are not in the deen. And you don't know the azab. You say, oh, it's a minor thing. Oh, there's no problem. I won't be punished, we say in the world. There's no problem. But these sins were stuck to your body, Allah says. You couldn't see them. But does that mean that there's no punishment? The punishment is definitely there. So Allah says that your eyes could not see this in the world. But why did you continue to sin? Allah will ask us in the hereafter. Allah will ask us, did you not know that you did the wrong actions that earned the punishment? And so these sins will become alive in front of you in the grave and thereafter. But yes, Allah says, I give you many chances. Despite that you sinned so much and you were washing yourself with the sins, you were close to Jahannam. Jahannam was near to you. But Allah says, my grace, I increased your life and gave you Ramadan. So this is the month of Rahmah, mercy. That people like me who are sinful, when I get Ramadan, it's a rahmah. Allah said, I gave you Ramadan, like one man, and he's dirty, and he's impure, he's smelling, and the tap is closed. You know, sometimes, it would happen in the older days, there's no water, and you're sweating, there's smell on your body, you've worked hard all day long, you come home, and there's no water, and you say, oh, it's hard, I'm smelling, my body's dirty, what shall I do? Suddenly, then a friend says, come, I'll tell you what to do, and there's a nice shower, and a very nice shampoo he's got there, and soap. And when you go in, they go, oh, nice place. You'll put the shower on, and you'll jump in there. You won't leave there, but when you leave there, you'll come out pure and clean. And there'll be not a spot of dust on you. So Allah says, same way, you were immersed in the sins, drowned in the sins, top to bottom. And those sins you committed in your life, those sins that they are worse than the physical sins. One is the physical sins that we can see, but there are more dangerous sins, batin, in your side. Hasad, the jealousy, lying, backbiting, fraud, and evil eye. These are all inside, buried inside as greed and desire of the dunya. All these sins, you can't even see them outside. Why? Because sometimes, for example, someone says to you, oh, you're pious, he's praying salah, namazi, and outside people are saying salam to you. But the sins that are inside, when will they come out? When you go into the grave and you're scanned, and the sins are stuck to you. So Allah says, I gave you my karam, my grace, I gave you such a washroom that you were full of dirt and sweat. Allah said, with my mercy in your life, I extended your life and gave you Ramadan. After that, you don't know if you're going to get Ramadan next year. Maybe your life will expire here. Allah said, I give you Ramadan for this reason, that jump into Ramadan so I can purify you, Allah says. So I can purify you. Just for this reason, I give you Ramadan, Allah says, to purify you. That you jump into Ramadan like a swimming pool, and all the snakes, scorpions, spiders, insects that are stuck to us due to our sins, when we go into Ramadan, Allah says, dive into Ramadan, put the shampoo on. There's a shampoo in Ramadan, there's the soap in Ramadan, use it, clean yourself, and you'll come out the other side of Ramadan, clean and pure. So easy. Oh, how should we do that? What should I do in Ramadan? What's the shower of Ramadan? That we should jump into the shower and we get pure and clean and free from Jahannam. Allah says, very good shower. What is that? Just once say, Allah forgive me, Allah forgive me. Just say that once. Allah says, do tawbah. Repent. Allah says, I don't want anything. You don't need to read Quran 10 times, 15 times. You don't need to stay at night all awake or read tahajjud or sujood. Allah says, no problem. Allah says, I've sent you to have a bath. If you don't wash yourself, then the ibadat won't help you. There's just one action that will help you. Ramadan I gave you for one purpose. That you come to me, Allah says, and you ask me and beg me. Allah says, that Allah, my previous life, I've made mistakes and sins, lot of errors. I don't know when I'm going to die, where I will be put into the box, the coffin. People will be sad. He was a good man, he was a good man. But when I go into the grave, I will learn what I was. Allah, while I'm thinking this, you've given me a chance today. What should I do? Ramadan. Soon as a person does tawbah, repents, imagine this. He is full of the sins, zina, stealing, all sins. And he stands in front of Allah and he says, Allah, Allah says in the Quran, soon as my servant comes to me and says, Astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. It doesn't even take a second. Allah says, Inna Allah ghafurur raheem. Allahu Akbar. It doesn't take a second. Soon as you stood there and you bow and you beg to Allah with an honest heart, Allah, please forgive my previous sins. Inshallah, in the future, I will try. I will try. Those sins I will leave now. Just three things you say. Three things. It's not hard, is it? It's not hard, is it? And when you do this, then the doors of Jannah will open for you. Your grave will become a beautiful garden of paradise. It will be decorated when the people in the world throw you in the grave, this ditch. Then there already in advance, you will have the garden of paradise. There will be carpets there for you. Nice smell for you in the grave. And you would say, what is this grave I'm coming to? What's this place I've been buried into? But because it's come, because Allah gave you Ramadan, you did tawbah, you repented. Allah said, I promised you, inna Allah ghafoor, that all your sins I forgave you. Allah says, I forgave you. Subhanallah. This is why don't we just do this in Ramadan? Because we don't know. Because we don't know that we're going to die. We read the Quran. We do sujood upon sujood. We pray Tarawih. We keep the fast. But from our mouth we don't say, Allah, I ask you for forgiveness for my previous sins. I will try my best in the future. And now what I'm sinning, I leave right now those sins. Just say it now. Say it now, brothers. Do we all say this, brothers? Do we all say this or we don't say this? Whoever is sat in this masjid right now, even if now he says, Allah, please forgive all my previous sins. Say it, brothers. Allah, say it. Say it from your mouths. Allah, please forgive all my sins. We ask you for forgiveness. And I promise Allah that the future life, my future life, I will try my best to save myself from the sins. And right now the sins I'm doing today, in Ramadan, due to the sadaqah of Ramadan, I leave those sins. Allah says, I'm ghafoor, I've forgiven all your sins. Subhanallah. How long did this take, my brothers? In this masjid, I'm speaking, I'm telling you what the Quran is telling us. I'm not talking from my pocket or giving you stories. Rabbi Kareem allows us to talk like this. Allah says, 88 places in the Quran, Allah is addressing me and you like this. 88 places Allah is speaking to me, to you. Allah says 88 places in the Quran, Allah is addressing me and you directly, speaking to us like this. But we don't listen to Allah. Ya ayyuhaladheena amanu, ya ayyuhaladheena amanu. I've got iman, you are Muslim. So who is Allah speaking to when he says, ya ayyuhaladheena amanu? He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. Why do we turn around to Allah speaking to that person? Allah is speaking to you, me. Ya ayyuhaladheena amanu. O people of iman, pray salah. O people of iman, don't commit sins. O people of iman, get up, do this action. We look to the back. Allah is speaking to me. This means I don't have iman then, does it? If I'm looking at somebody else. If Allah is addressing me, if I don't understand that Allah is addressing me, He's speaking to me, and I say, Allah, I don't have iman, I'm not a Muslim, or you're speaking to X, Y, Z, you're speaking to somebody else. No, 88 places in the Quran, Allah is speaking to me directly. 88 places, say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. 88 places, I'm amazed, Subhanallah, that 88 times Allah has called me and spoken to me in the Quran. He's addressing me personally. Then why do you do these actions? Are you not ashamed? I'm your Rabb, your Lord, speaking to sometimes in the morning, sometimes whenever I open the Quran, Allah is addressing me. Allah is speaking to me. Ramadan, if I open the Quran, Allah is addressing me in Ramadan. If I'm in a Medina, Allah is speaking to me in Medina. If I'm in front of the Kaaba, Allah is speaking to me in front of the Kaaba. Allah is saying to me, become a good person, Asif. If you stood in front of the Quran, do true tawbah. Why don't you do honest tawbah, repent? And I'm thinking, who's Allah speaking to here? This don't make this mistake out. Quran is speaking to us. Take this mistake out of our lives. Quran is addressing us directly. And the person who thinks that the Quran is speaking to me, alhamdulillah, then he'll understand that Allah is speaking to me and I'm speaking to Allah. Communication. Then he'll accept straight away Yes, then whatever order comes from the Quran, subhanAllah, when he opens the Quran, we say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, Allah speaking, straight away Allah Ta'ala speaks and tells us. Immediately we say, that how are you? Are you fine? Okay, today you have come to me now, so I'm speaking to you personally, Allah says. Allah says this in the Quran. And we are personally through there. There's no one there in between. Why don't you pray salah? Allah asks us, pray salah. Marakin, you don't prostrate in the masjid. Warakun, go with the people and prostrate and pray in the masjid. Atiur Rasul, why don't you imitate my prophet? Why do you shave your beard? Why do you trim your beard? Why do you spoil your face? Who is Allah speaking? To us directly, the Quran. Why don't you keep the beard, old man? Why are you not ashamed? That why are you're not imitating and following your holy prophet, that you will go into the grave. One of your legs are in the grave already, old man. If I push you now, you will pass away. You're still looking at beauty, and you think that there's beauty in shaving the beard or trimming the beard short or keeping the beard short. Why don't you imitate the prophet? Allah says in the Quran, "Kul atiullah wa atiur rasul." I'm not saying this. Maulana Sahib is not saying this. Who's saying this? The Quran is telling us that my Habib, sallallahu alaihi, why don't you imitate him? Why do you imitate the strangers? Why do you not obey my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why not footstep by footstep follow him? Yes, he is your role model. He is the best role model. Why do you worry? Why? Allah says, I'll tell you wazifas. I'll give you the recitation to get rid of your worry. Allah says, I'll tell you such a wazifa that all your concerns and worries will disappear. Subhanallah. Allah is telling me, I'm reading the Quran, isn't it? Allah says, all your worries and your anxiety and your life distress will all disappear. Allah says that when I want to speak to you, I'll tell you the wazifa as well to eliminate your problems. You are running in the dunya looking for solution. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira wasabbihuhu bukratan wa asila. Yusalli alaykum wal malaikatu yukhriju min adh-dhulumati ila nur wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. A great wazifa Allah gives. What's that practice? Allah says that my rahmah will come, my angels will send you rahmah mercies, I will send rahmah upon you mercies, and I will take you out of the fire of Jahannam, and I will bring you into my mercy, and I will put you into the light of paradise, nur. Allah, what is that wazifa? Tell me that action, Allah. What shall I do? Who's telling us this prescription? Peer Sahib. Oh, the Quran that you've opened up, you're reading, Allah is speaking to you, telling you the solution. All your hardships will be eliminated, and your grave will become like Jannah. Your dunya life will be full of mercies. Allah says, I'll send you mercies. My angels will send you mercies. Yukhruju min adh-dhulumati ila nur. Allah says, I'll take you out of darkness. I'll take you out of the sins. I'll take you out of the darkness of poverty. I'll take you out of the darkness of haram. I'll take you out of the darkness of riba, interest, out of the darkness of immodesty, out of the darkness of music and singing. I'll take you all up to the darkness, Allah says, my job. Yukhruju min adh-dhulumati ila nur. And where will I take you? I'll bring you towards my light, Allah says. Whilst you're living in the dunya, I'll let you wander in Jannah. I'll show you good dreams. And my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come into your dreams. Ziyara, I will allow you to pray durood, salam. I will allow you to recite the Quran. Tell what? This means, yukhruju min adh-dhulumati ila nur. I'll bring you towards goodness. Why don't you do that wazifa? That worship. Allah says, just morning and evening do this practice regularly, and the rest leave to me, Allah says. Now if you say, na'udhu billah, the Quran is lying, is it? Astaghfirullah. No. Allah says this in the Quran, yukadhibun, the previous nations, they rejected their Nabis. So today you also are rejecting your Nabi. You are with your actions rejecting your Nabi. The Allah's orders, when Allah is saying something, if you don't practice that, that means you're rejecting that. You're rejecting that. For example, if I say to you that go and do this task ABC, and you don't do ABC, then you've refused what I've said. You've rejected. You're not saying from your mouth, but physically you are rejecting what I'm saying. So we don't even say with our mouth, with our actions, we're saying Allah says Atiur Rasul. We say, no, Allah, we're not going to do this. I'm not going to. Look at me. Look at my libas. Look at my living. Look at my eating. Look at our lifestyle. Everything by our lifestyle, we're saying to Allah, we are doing with our actions, physically rejecting. Imagine the azab, the punishment that person will get. Allah Ta'ala says, those previous nations, whichever prophet I sent to the world, they rejected. That whatever the prophet said, they went against it 180 degrees. The normal Nabis, Allah said that I sent them, just like I told you yesterday, I discussed with you the previous nation, the people of Hazrat Shu'ayb alayhi salam, how Allah destroyed them. Because they rejected the words of my Nabi. So they said, we believe. They said, we believe, just like today we say, yes, we believe in the people who say we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's our Nabi, we believe in him. Do we believe in him? Subhanallah. So for example, if your son says, Abba Jan, I'll give my life for you, I love you. Okay, my son, I need 100 pounds. Give me 100. Dad, I don't have 100 pounds. I can't give you 100 pounds. I need to spend on myself. But you are my father. I respect you a lot, father. But I can't give you 100 pounds. Is that believing in the father? Is that respecting the father? If your son can't even give to the father who's in need, he doesn't respect him, then does he believe in, have faith in the father? So are we believing and have faith in our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Allah is ordering us that he's your role model. لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رُسُولُ اللَّهِ اُسْوَةً حَسَنًا. Not an inch move from his deen. This is not the practice of a mu'min. Allah gives us the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a role model and we leave him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Say Subhanallah if you understand what I'm saying. Subhanallah. That's why we have this gathering. That's why Allah Ta'ala allowed me to say these words and I share these words with you. Wallahi billahi, not one word did I think before I came to this gathering. I swear that in my mind what I said, what I wanted to say, and the verse of the Quran I read, I wanted to say that to you. I don't know where that's disappeared. I've forgotten that. That's come out of my mind what I planned to say. I swear by Allah, I'm shocked myself. Those hadith that were in my mind I wanted to share with you. Before the gathering, those hadith have come out of my mind. I've forgotten that subject. Ajib, unique, new subjects come now today. Subhanallah. So this is Allah Ta'ala who allows that which good brother must be sat here, that due to him, Allah is doing our islah. When Allah is loving someone in this gathering, Allah wants him to improve. Allah has made me forget what I was going to say. I've forgotten those hadith. Subhanallah. What I thought and planned that today I'm going to speak with the brothers, with the gathering, this beautiful hadith that were in my mind, and I wanted to take you to the scene of Medina today. Medina's hadith, it was about ziyarah of Medina, how you do it. There was a sahabi, it was a story of a companion. Very beautiful story. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrated this hadith in Tirmidhi and Mishkat that was in my mind. But that's disappeared now. And now a new discussion of the qabr, the grave and death has started. So my brothers, Allah wants to tell us today, I'm not telling you what Allah's put in my mind, that don't leave this action. This wazifa, this action, amal has given so great rewards Allah will give for this action. This only, you have to do one thing, morning and evening do this action. Morning and evening, just pray this, do this. وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِهُونَ Allah says. That, do my dhikr, make your life a habit of dhikr. As soon as it's morning, come to dhikr. As soon as evening, come to dhikr. 2 times in the day, no more than that. Just 2 times, punctually, regularly. Allah, where shall I do dhikr? Allah says, you make the niyyah, and I will show you the majlis, the gathering of dhikr, Allah says. That's it. So mashallah, to get a majlis, a gathering in this place, this country, morning and evening where we sit and do dhikr. Is this easy to find a gathering? Here, a person that people, other people come from another country, where will I get a job? What business shall I do? And, oh, come, let's take his finger and we'll take you. A person came from Pakistan, new person, poor soul. How many thousands of pounds he paid to get a visa? He arrived, he was wandering on the streets. And he came to the masjid. And he was distressed, sad, his hair was all over the place. I think it was the second day he arrived to the UK. And he looked at me, and I said, you look like you're foreign. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm in a bad state, so much money, thousands I spent to get a visa. I came to this country, I'll get a good job. 3 days I've not had no food, I've got no money to buy milk for my child. He's telling me the story. And he's saying, I don't know, what shall I do? I'm so anxiety, depression, what shall I do? It's a very bad situation. Him, £25,000 he paid to get the visa to come to this town, this country. I said, the same point that came to my mind. I said to him, oh, you look very distressed, sad. Don't worry, everything will be sorted, I will help you. But alhamdulillah, here, I told him that I'll tell you the wazifa. Allah allowed me to tell him that we have dhikr in morning, evening. Come here, sit and do dhikr. Remembrance of Allah. Now tell me, I'll tell you that event. The one man who's looking here, he came here to look for money, and Allah showed him the wealth of the akhirah when he came in. In his mind, he didn't have imagination that, will I get this majlis? I came here to make money and wealth, work in a factory. Soon as he arrived here, he got the majlis, the gathering of dhikr. It wasn't even in his mind. He didn't even imagine that he will come to this land of people who have no faith. That so much Allah has mentioned in the Quran, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, do my dhikr, about majalis, gatherings, morning and evening majlis. And he said, where's this majlis come from? I said, you come here, you will get such the majlis that inshallah you will get full with the dhikr of Allah. But people who live here, they don't listen. They want to listen. Allah says, I've prepared, like I've told you in the Quran, that such a deed I'll present to you in amal. So bring that into your life. Allah says, I prepare for the amal already in the world. That Allah says, the child isn't even born yet. But the child, before the child comes, I'll allow it. That in the chest of the mother, I put the milk for the child. In advance, Allah prepares for the people. And the child isn't even being born yet. So subhanAllah. Allah says, the child isn't even in the world yet. But Allah says, I create a woman and I give her the breast. And in the breast, I fill the milk, subhanAllah. And then there will be an amal. Even if it's winter, then it will be warm milk. And if it's a hot climate, then the cool milk will come out from the mother. Subhanallah. In that body, in the woman, Allah has put that effect. Subhanallah. This is scientifically, I'm sharing this information. Her body changes with the climate, the temperature, the climate, the condition. Okay. So it's not milk. Look at that beautiful miracle. What the plant Allah Ta'ala is embedded. Where's the milk come there? Is she a cow? Like the mother. How does the milk get manufactured? Allah says that because he's my guest, the baby I'm sending to the world. Allah says, I'm sending the baby, so I take responsibility for the child. But you are so useless and wretched human being that when you grow up, then you forget me, Allah says, and you run after the rizq, you forget the prostration and the salah, and you become chaudhry sahab and make money. And Allah says that you reject me, you forget my favors. I promised when you were a baby, before you even born, I prepared your food and the milk. But when you were born and due to your job, you forget me, you left the sujood, prostration, a disrespectful man. Allah says in the Quran, when you pass away, then I will do your hisab. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't understand what I'm saying. Will you read salah after today on time? Yes. Allah says, you have no shame that you left the salah. I created a woman, a mother, I put the plant. Where did the milk come from? That did she have the sheep inside her? Did she have the cow? Where did the milk come from? That she's the milk and breast. That nice, fresh and nutrient milk, Allah says. That nutritious milk. Allah said, I created the system that I inject the love into the mother. And when she sees her baby, then due to the love that Allah injected into the mother, that love changes to milk. Imagine the passion that Allah injects into the love into the mother. That it changes to milk. So much immense love is generated in the mother. So much immense love that her blood, Allah Ta'ala converts it and manufactures it. So much passion that her blood is converted into milk. And suddenly I make the place for a milk. The child, soon as he puts his mouth there, he doesn't know how to suck. But Allah says, subhanAllah, I teach the child how to suck. Soon as the child sucks, then according to his desire, the milk comes to the child. And that it doesn't get stuck in her neck. It doesn't sneeze. It doesn't cough. It's a small child. This is Allah, our Rabb. He gives us. And today we've grown up and we've forgotten our Rabb. We say, oh Allah, we don't care about you. No. I've got a factory. I've got business. I've got shops. I've got job. If I've got time, I'll pray salah. If Ramadan comes, I'll pray. Oh, be ashamed. Oh, be gharib. You eat from Allah and you reject him. You reject Allah, you reject His Nabi, His Prophet, Rahmatullil Alameen. You spoil your faces, you spoil your appearances, you take your hijab off, parda. Remember, big azab Allah will give punishment. The azab is not far. Look with your eyes, go and look in the world. What's happening left and right of you? What's happening around us? Those same people who had nice houses, nice mansions, they had children, and they had comfortable, like a small child, 4 years old, the eyes are finished, the feet are cut. I'm telling you today what's happening around us. We know what's happening. The legs are cut. The eye is not looking. The hands are cut. The arms are cut. 4-year-old child sat in the corner saying out to you, mother, 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 where's mother, where's mother? Mother with the 4 children wiped her away. Allah, this is azab, is happening in front of us. You are watching this. You can hear this. The news is there. And from amongst you. And there are people who live amongst you. Why? Why is this happening? Because Allah Ta'ala, He does never want to give injustice. Allah will never do zulm on anybody. Allah will never oppress anybody. Those people who eat haram, who lie, those people who backbite, those people who Allah Ta'ala says they break my laws, they don't respect my laws. We have made our own deen according to our opinions and choices. Whatever we're happy with, we do those actions. Allah says then be ready, shadeed azab, shadeed punishment. When I grab someone, it's a firm grip. Then the world falls pity on the person, but Allah doesn't have pity on the person. Remember this. My brothers, your lives, change them, improve them. Today is the chance. Look how Allah is kareem. Blessed. On one side, Allah has given us a chance, opportunity. And Allah says, nothing is hidden. Every man is watching. The media is there. TVs are running. News is coming. It's not that anything's hidden. Everyone is watching and witnessing. And everybody knows what's going on. Everybody's aware from amongst us. Do you understand what I'm saying? We say Subhanallah then. Say Subhanallah. This was on my topic, Subhanallah, I wanted to address today. So then, Allah says, everyone's watching, witnessing, everybody knows, everybody's aware of what's happening, nothing's hidden in the world. Then why is it happening then? Why is this happening? Why? Because Allah has given a warning to us that we are living here, you know? You know, we're living, Allah is warning us. Allah is explaining to us, not for any other reason, the only reason for this, that the things that you can witness and the stories in my kitabs, the previous nations, how I grab them, because when they disobey me, Allah says, when they reject their Nabi, their Prophet, and then you cannot see any sign of them in the world. Allah says that, what is it? Their qalb, their hearts, Allah says, yafqahoon. Their eyes they've got, they are la basirun. They can't see with their eyes. They have a heart they cannot feel. And their qalb, their heart, it cannot feel, it cannot test. And Allah says, further than that, this Quran, the verses that I'm reading in front of you, that their hearts, what are they? They're not the hearts that will understand, they will not absorb, they cannot understand or listen. He's reading Quran, reading the verses, explain, tell them. He says, I don't want to understand you. Well, just tell me 2 + 2 = 4. Tell me, where can I find the job? Where can I make money? Tell me about that. Well, how can I buy a house or make a house? We've come here. Tell us how we can take interest and riba so we can live in a house comfortably. Tell us about these things, people say. Don't tell us the place where we can make the wealth and the money. Why are you talking about azab and qabr and hereafter? La yafqahoon. Allah says, qulubun la yafqahoon. Their hearts will not absorb the information. And beyond that, Allah says, they have 2 ears, big ears, and they put the machine on this, but what can't they hear? They can hear. What do they hear? How much have you earned? How did you come? How many houses have you got? How many cars have you got? How much hisab and your accounts and your balance? Ramadan, they do this as well. La ismong. Allah says, they can't hear. What can they not hear? They can't hear that do amal, follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnahs, keep the beard, observe parda, hijab, pray salah, save yourself from riba, interest, don't eat haram, don't backbite, don't say bad to someone. Oh no, 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 I can't do that. Don't tell me this, brother. When they hear this, then they walk away, they leave. They say, this religion is too strict, it's too hard, this deen, Maulana Saab, he's too backward. Oh, is this Islam? No, live in the dunya, it's easy, Islam's easy, we have to live in the dunya. What's this deen you're presenting to us, people complain. Oh, is this iman? Oh, should we live in, have iman, and wear parda, and wear the sunnah libas? No, it's impossible, yaar. We have to be Western lifestyle. The Quran is addressing these people, that they have ears, but they cannot hear. They don't know anything else. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnahs, to practice his sunnah is such a great practice. Allah has announced in the Quran, subhanAllah, man ahya sunnati in the fasad al ummati. Then when such monkeys and apes and animals, the qawm of the Muslims become like this, that they don't know about the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they don't have an awareness of it. They don't care about it. They don't respect it. At that time, if any person takes one sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and revives it, and he sits down and drinks water, he eats with his hands, and this is how bad the practice of the sunnah will be. We don't even know how to eat food. We don't even know how to go to the toilet according to the sunnah. We don't even, our children don't know how to go to the toilet according to the sunnah. Which foot should you go in first? Is this not Islam? The Quran, we think that, oh, just do what we want, praying Taraweeh, we think is Islam. And when we'll ask in the qabr, that will tell us, we'll be asked about the sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We say, this is not deen. Tell me. The Quran, the whole Quran, what is the deen is teaching us? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah, the Quran is reviving. Ahya of the sunnah. Reviving the sunnah. The Quran is giving the message of the sunnah, but we say it's nothing. We've hidden it away. Why? Because if we don't think in about the sunnah, and we don't accept the azab, that we are ready to accept the azab. So Allah is warning us right now that what's happening in the hereafter, what's happening around the world, save yourself, Allah says, save yourself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Open up. That what's happening here, also Allah is Allah here, and Allah is the same there, around the world. That Allah has given you chickens here, He's the same Allah here. That there, without the food, He's allowing them to fast, He's the same God. He's your God and He's their God. He's their Rabb, He's your Rabb. Why would I do zulm with them, Allah says? I'm explaining to you, Allah says, that look here, Allah Ta'ala is saying. Okay, when you put the TV on and you watch the witness, the scenes around the world, you got a cup of tea, cup of coffee, your stomach is full of chickens, and you're seeing what's happening around the world. Oh, it's a lot of loss, a lot of zulm. Allah says, yes, I'm reminding you. Now look here. The warning, whoever takes the warning and the lesson from this, today he has the chance of getting forgiveness. today. But the person who takes the warning, the signs, because the water, the flood water moves. But the person who learns from the flood, he will save himself today. Allah says, I gave you Ramadan for this purpose. That do you think you know more than me? Allah says, you have pity for your people around the world. I am your Rabb, I am your Lord. You think I don't fall pity them? You're saving money for them, sending bread for them. Allah says, I am the Rabb. I am the controller. You think you have more pity than me? You think you have more pain in the hearts? Allah says, feel pity and pain for yourselves that maybe tomorrow it doesn't happen to you. Allah says, I'll give you a chance now. You still have time. Allah says, one chance. What is that? Raise your hands and ask Allah for forgiveness now. Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. What a great door Allah Ta'ala has opened up. Great door. Allah says, ask me one forgiveness, one tawbah today. One true heart tawbah, if you do it with a true heart, alhamdulillah. Then take the lessons from what's happening around the world, the azab that Allah sent. Oh Allah, we ask you for forgiveness. Allah, we ask you. رَبَّنَا ذَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ Allah, immediately Allah, accept the tawbah, Allah, with our sadqa, Allah, reduce the azab and the, around the world. Have this pain for the people. Brothers, do you do tawbah today? Do you do tawbah repentance today? Yes, tawbah is the cure for today's problems. The biggest ibadah worship today, I'll tell you right now. The biggest ibadah of Ramadan is not Quran, not Taraweeh, not close to Allah. They have no power. The biggest ibadah worship in Ramadan is that action that all year long Allah comes to the lowest heavens in the night. Allah says, is my servant there who asked me for forgiveness such that I can forgive him? Allah, make friendship with Allah. You can't do it by reciting Quran, not by praying salah, not by sujood. Allah says, make friendship with me, then one action you can make friendship. On one action you can make up with me. Promise you won't commit the sins. Allah says, I'll forgive you. Promise to not commit the sins. But we don't do this. We do all the other actions. Allah says, carry on praying, but I will not forgive you unless there's tawbah. SubhanAllah. What a great lesson of today. I didn't even know myself before today. I was going to say, SubhanAllah, Allah, my Mawla, what you allowed me to speak. I couldn't imagine that before I come, I'd say these words. I couldn't even imagine I'd say this from my tongue. SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice this. And two things we've said today. Let me summarize what I've said today, what I've spoken today. Two summaries of today. Message of Ramadan. Number one, do tawbah, repent. Repent. Nothing else. Leave everything. First and foremost, make friendship with Allah. Make the friendship. When you make friendship with Allah, then Allah says, I'll make your salah become beautiful. Your Quran will become beautiful. Your recitation will give you Jannah and paradise. Every action you do, 10, 70 times over, Allah will accept. This Quran will become shifa for your intercession. But first action, make the friendship with Allah. Make the friendship, make up with Allah. And create the relationship with Allah. Then your ibadah will help you. And second, lesson today about the grave, as I requested, that I'll tell you one wazifa, Allah has given a lesson. What's that lesson? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran kathira wa sabbahu bukratan wa asila huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatahu li Allah says yukhriju min adh-dhulumati ila nur wa kana bil mu'minina rahima. Subhanallah. This is wazifa, take this lesson. What a great Allah's talk about rahmah, mercy, saving yourself from the sins, Jannah, paradise. This wazifa, practice every day, morning and evening. We have a majlis gathering of dhikr, and you're not coming for me. This is your wazifa. Sit down 5 minutes, 10 minutes, sit in the gathering of dhikr, then leave, do this morning and evening. From Allah, good news, you will get the good news. Will we do this, brothers, inshallah? Okay? Okay, fine. Let's do dhikr of Allah for a short while. This time is short now. Recite Durood Sharif. And we're going to do dhikr, we'll do it audibly, we're going to remember Allah. Don't do it whispering. Then do dhikr first class. When you remember Allah, this is Ramadan dhikr. Do it nicely. Get closer in the gathering and say your voice nicely. Yes, first class voice, recite the name of Allah. Dhikr jahe will do, loud dhikr. So Allah, be happy that you've heard a good lesson today. Ask Allah for forgiveness, and Allah will say, I'll forgive these people. Okay, so do the high level kalima, inshallah, verses. And whoever is not joining in this masjid, whoever doesn't join this gathering is mutakabbir, because Allah's dhikr is taking place. And if you don't join the dhikr, Allah says he is kibbar and pride. He's running away from my dhikr. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like a person like that. So leave all other actions and come and sit in the dhikr of Allah. So recite after me.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وحسلنا وشتنا خطوانا وغيرنا اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمت وما أخرت وما أسررت وما أعلمت وما أسررت أنت المقدم أنت المقدم لا إله إلا أنت يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم اللهم نسألك فضلك ورحمتك اللهم نسألك فضلك ورحمتك يا لا رحم فرما يا لا رحم فرما يا لا رحم فرما يا الله ہمارے دلوں کو نرم کر دے یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو نرم کر دے یا اللہ ہمارے دلوں کو نرم کر دے یا اللہ پتھر دلوں میں میرے مولا ہمارے ایمان اتار دے یا اللہ اپنا قرآن اتار دے نبی پاک کی سنتیں اتار دے یا اللہ ہمارے قلوب کو نرم کر دے یا اللہ ہمیں عبرت دیکھ عبرت السبق حاصل کرنے یا اللہ ہمیں عبرت السبق حاصل کرنے کی توفیق نصیب فرما یا اللہ رمضان ہمارے شفا بنا دے رضائے رمضان سے ہماری زندگی تبدیل فرما ہمارے باطن کو تبدیل فرما یا رسول اللہ ہمیں رسمی رمضان عطا فرما رسمی رمضان عطا نہ فرما یا اللہ ہمارے باطن کو تبدیل کر دے یا اللہ ہمیں متقی بنا یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو ختم فرما یا کریم تو فضل فرما رحم فرما یا فرما یا اللہ ہمارے ہوتے ہوئے ہاتھوں کو خالی بنا فرما وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد و آلہ و صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون وسلام علی المرسلین والحمد للہ